Okay, welcome to everybody listening now and in the future. This is our class, our lecture two in the prenatal and perinatal professional lecture series, which are skills and tools for our pre and perinatal professionals and trying to work with integrating trauma resolution, biodynamic craniosacral therapy, and somatic experiencing. So tonight we have Margaret Rosenau, who is the lead instructor and director of the School of Inner Health in Denver. She's been teaching since 2006. She is a somatic experiencing practitioner, a registered craniosacral therapist, and graduated from Ray Castellino's pre-perinatal training in 2004. Her extensive experience gives her the capacity to support students from a place of remarkable depth and breadth. The human body is truly her medium for connecting people to the aliveness within themselves and the world. So, welcome, Margaret. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. It's good to see some faces, and I know there's more people on here, and there's some names and people I know, and many I don't, and we're all over the world in this incredible moment of time. When I agreed to do this, I had no idea the time frame I would actually be presenting this in, and it's really relevant to now. And to be honest, these are skills I'm having trouble practicing at times now. So it's good to teach them and have this opportunity to all practice them because this is a really unprecedented moment in our world, but an incredible one, and I'm going to talk about that. And so, as Kate was saying, I've been doing all of the things I've been doing for a long time, and I've really been living, sleeping, breathing biodynamics for a long time. And really thought a lot about what that means to me, what that word means to me, what this way of thinking means to me. So that's what I'm going to talk about now. I learned somatic experiencing and craniosacral therapy together in the early 2000s. And so that's always been a marriage for me. And pre and perinatal overlapped with some of that too. So it's all folded in. But I'm going to stay focused on skills that are concepts and skills that are that are usable in the pre and perinatal realm, but come from a biodynamic orientation. And I'll do what I can to bridge that, and we'll have time to bridge that to pre and perinatal if it's not clear, and we'll have time at the end for more questions about it. But feel free to chime in with questions and send your questions to Kate. And Kate, you can let me know if there's something in the moment that's really relevant. So let's begin. And let's begin by here. So one of the things in an essential way about biodynamics is that we're talking about life unfolding and life changing, just like it does in the embryo, just like you've probably been learning and thinking about. In order for growth to happen in any developmental stage, humans and life, any form of life, has to change completely. And if we don't do that, then life doesn't go on. And boy, is that right now, huh? And so that embracing of change is fundamental to what helps us be alive. And life and biodynamics talk about the forces and the rhythms that repeat and regenerate life. So life is change. Biodynamics is about accessing within the human body and within the field around us the perception of those rhythms that are always present but also facilitate change. So a biodynamic approach, to quote Franklin Sills, who my background is in craniosacral therapy. He is alive, a man in England who founded this branch of craniosacral therapy in the curriculum structure that it's now taught. And he says A biodynamic approach entails a real perceptual shift from the patterns that conditions present within the system to the inherent forces that organize them. So one of the ways you may have heard Kate or others talk about that is blueprint, which is Anna Chitty's term, and imprint, like the underlying organizational forces, the underlying conditions present always. And then what we're used to looking at is the more superficial, in a way, or more immediate layer of patterns that have presented themselves because of a circumstance. If that's not clear, somebody raise their hand and ask me to repeat. But this is a systemic perceptual shift from focusing on conditional, time-specific events and shifting to a timeless, more essential, deeper place of life unfolding. So it's a shift. It's a perceptual shift, and I'm going to walk you through some of those shifting points or ways that we talk about it. But one of the primary differences, as was the title of this lecture, is that in this model of biodynamics, and this is a way that you can certainly sit with early pre and perinatal material to orient to the health or intelligence in every being and circumstance. So in everything, there is an intelligence that is present now. And whether or not we are oriented to that doesn't mean it's not there. We go away from it. It doesn't leave us. It can't. In this way of thinking, health is ever present, always there. Anna Chitty, who's my main mentor, teaches biodynamics also here in Colorado, says that the health can be obscured, and that's very true, but it doesn't go away. So it's not the kind of health we're talking about in terms of a pandemic, someone getting sick or not getting sick. It's a health that doesn't get sick. It's a health that has always intelligent, potent potential to be well, that is well. It's that layer inside ourselves where we are well. It's that layer in the world where things are well and intelligent. So that second, is that making sense? Anybody have any? I hope I'm making sense. The biodynamic cranial world formed out of osteopathy, which was founded by a man named Andrew Taylor Still, who's that second quote there. And he actually learned of a lot of what he knew from the Shawnee Indians, who he was fortunate to live among and study with. But he's famous for saying many things, including, "It's the object of a physician to find health. Anyone can find disease." And as I was putting this presentation together in the last couple of days, I was thinking, God, is that ever true right now? Huh? Like, we are all living in a way to avoid finding that disease and thinking it could be anywhere. But what we need to do in this time is we need to find the health within us and the health within this situation, because there's a ton of it, in my opinion. And this is something else Franklin said, the healing processes required in any given situation are already present within the patterns, pathologies, and conditions found. Health is already at work centering these conditions, and the treatment plan, what needs to happen, is literally unfolded with them. So this ability to shift the health requires some skills, which we'll go to in a few minutes. But this is, in some ways, the most profound orientation, perceptual paradigm shift of biodynamics. It's to focus on what is well and what is alive. And the dynamic part of biodynamic is really that, to me, that aliveness, that biodiversity, that teeming aliveness. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm staring out the window of my school classroom, and I'm seeing trees out there, and I see all your faces here, and I don't always think to myself, wow, those are living beings out there in those trees, or all of you, each of you sitting alone in your spaces. We are so fully alive, even when we're sick, even when we're depressed, even when, whatever, we are living alive beings. And if we can focus on that aliveness, something shifts. And that aliveness is healthy and unkillable. I think it's unkillable. I think it's actually really hard for life to end. It's even hard for physical life to end. But, you know, individually, but certainly in a large way. And so that aliveness goes on and actually perpetuates itself and clears itself constantly and is in constant motion. So some of the ways that that aliveness is visible to me now is in all the beautiful individual ways that people are waking up to things, and in all the beautiful ways that this time is creating a pause and a regenerative moment for our planet, for our communities, for our families, for ourselves. How often do we get this time to just pause? But we're being flooded with lots of scary things, information out there. So where's a place inside myself where I can just orient to the well-being in me? And I'd like us all to just take a moment and notice your body and notice your feet on the floor, if they are, or your the way you're sitting and the lower half of your body, and just bring your attention down. And bring your attention in. So orienting to the health in yourself. If you're not feeling well, or your mind is spinning, or any other thing is going on, don't try to throw that away, ignore it, or jump over it. Just acknowledge it and also go bigger. So go deeper, go wider, consider something else. Something well. It's not always loud, but it's always alive. See if you can orient to that center place in yourself. In the biodynamic world, we call it the midline, or as Anna likes to call it, the mid space. That space in the center, which the body naturally folds and unfolds around, which the embryo naturally develops out of and into. And within our spine, there are early rhythms that have always been there, the same ones that we formed out of. Those are places of health within us. And we begin to orient. You'll find a sense of your body and notice what it's like to just turn your focus inward for a moment. The health is within you. And whether or not you feel it, it's there. That's part of orienting to the health is orienting to ourselves. and part of it is orienting to formative motion, which I started to speak to. If you've had your eyes closed, you can sort of open them again, but see if you can stay with this place of being more embodied somehow, even though we're all connected around the world through this time. But when we orient to formative motion or presence of health, it's an instinctual knowing. It's an ancient wisdom. It predates ancestral lineage, and it also includes ancestral knowing. But this kind of instinctual knowing of aliveness and health, and how to maintain that, how to recognize it, it's recognize it. Because it maintains itself, actually. These are the orienting to formative motion, early motion. You know how the body develops out of rhythms of fluid and energy. And these are natural rhythms. In cranial sacral work, we talk about primary respiration, the rising and falling of something that is slower than the breath and more universal than the breath. And it's what we form out of, and it's also what we carry within us. And trained practitioners can orient to it with their hands. You can orient to it right now if you just think about, again, your seat and noticing something going down in your attention. And pausing. And what's really important in orienting to formative rhythm is that something bigger is conducting the orchestra. Thank God that's true in our bodies, right? We don't have to think about our heartbeat or our breath. These things are managed for us as long as we're well enough. We don't have to think about the sun rising and setting. We don't have to think about a lot of things because something bigger is also going on. And so we can feel separate from that biggerness, or we can be more supported by it, feel it more. So when we orient to something instinctual, ancient, wise, that has a rhythm, we become more present. Because it's not ancient only, also here right now. It's species instinctual, not just ancestral. It's the way life folds and unfolds and always will. So this is where I struggle a little bit, not being able to have a conversation, but hope that you're feeling a little bit of the shift in your orientation and attention. And I want to say something about layers of time. I want to remind you in this time that this is not the only thing going on in the world. This virus thing we're all hearing about is not the only thing going on. And not all life is being affected by it. And that there are many different kinds of time and ways of looking at time. And we've been taught to think in linear time. And that's making me want to have a crystal ball to be able to figure out how long this time is going to go on. But life is going to go on. And time hasn't stopped. And time has cycles and rhythms and layers. And we're going to talk about layers of time and layers of story in the body too. But when you think about working in the pre and perinatal realm, using biodynamic principles, you think about the layers of story a person is carrying. As we know, in this PPN world, goes all the way back to before conception, all the way forward, and includes generational time. Generation after generation of people coming forward. And generation after generation of babies being born. Huh? And that doesn't stop. So there's lots of layers of time. And what matters is where we put our focus in this time. So focusing on the health when the world is focusing on illness is not easy. It hasn't been easy for me exactly these last couple of weeks. I've been pretty up and down. But I'm so grateful for these skills, for the knowing of the ability to orient to health and to a health that doesn't go away. So, so we are in this time of a grand pause. And I'm going to talk about the pause. And some of you, I'm sure, have thought about and heard about and talked about the pause. This is a grand global pause on a scale none of us have ever seen and probably will never see again. And what pausing does is huge. So, hang on, I need to drink something. Actually, before I go to the pause, Kate, are there any questions out there or comments?
Not so far. Just
not so
reading.
Far. Okay.
But if anyone does have a question, please write it or have a put your hand up and we'll unmute and talk to us because it's important concept that the health is always there and that it's always operating.
Yep.
Even when we're sick, says Margaret, the health is always there.
It's true. Even when I'm pulling out Kleenex and dripping my nose, yeah, I'm fine. But the health is always there. And what isn't always present in our culture is that attention to health, right? And certainly I can't stop talking, thinking, wanting to cry about the momentousness of this moment of pause, that this culture, this Western culture, some of you may be in other places in the world, but it's so hugely fast-paced, faster than these natural rhythms, faster than the pace that we can heal at. This fast, incredibly speedy culture that is zooming at lightning speed to kind of into the oblivion of itself is pausing. Because this is a grand reset moment. So I want to take yet another moment. I feel like I keep jumping out of the embodied place, which is sort of where I've honestly been a bit this week. So I'm going to pause. I want to guide you once again to find yourself in this moment, to look around where the space that you're in, which has probably become even more familiar to you right now. Spending a lot of time there, and find something that you have a story about in your space, huh? And remember that story for a minute, and then notice what happens in your body as you remember that story. And if it's not a good story, find something else with a better story, and notice that. Notice what happens in your body, and then consider bringing that story with you in your thoughts into your body and thinking about something you appreciate about that story or about yourself just now. Take a moment to appreciate. And whatever it is you can appreciate about yourself, which is something not always easy for any of us to do, think of someone who also appreciates that about you or someone who you know recognizes that in you. and notice what happens in your body. That person's not in your vicinity or in your house right now. Just imagine them being closer. Notice what happens in your body. And then think about, however, what this is that you appreciate about yourself. For me, it's my persistence. How that's helping you. How is something that you're capable of, you appreciate about yourself, helping you in this moment, not necessarily in this lecture time, but in this moment of epidemic time? And consider how recognizing that could also help you. How recognizing that something you're capable of is helping you now would help you more. And if this is a hard exercise in some way, like it's been hard to find something, just take it one step outside and make it a little bigger, how someone else can help you or how you help someone else. But see if you can find it in yourself. Because the first thing we need to do in this time and any time, biodynamic orientation, is know where we are and know who we are. And what we have to offer effortlessly. All right, so just take another moment. We'll take a moment of silence here to sit with what you appreciate in yourself and how that can be of service to you and others now. I'm going to shift the slides and talk about how a little more about that pausing place and how biodynamics, an orientation to biodynamics requires a shift in pacing. You can probably hear it in my voice. I'm slowing down. Get a little active when I'm getting ready to do something like this and I get really passionate about it. And now I'm slowing down. I still have the same passion, but I'm slowing down. And what we do in this work is we slow down to the place and the pace at which life unfolds. So it's really about a pace that's slower than the modern fast-paced world can perceive, but a pace that in this time can become more visible. And it helps us recognize the state of our nervous system. Anybody found in the last few days of all this, weeks of all this, that as things slow down, there's something inside you speeding up? And that's kind of a normal thing. We have to pace ourselves down. And as we slow down, we also see the places inside ourselves that are still going fast, which is part of recognizing the state of our own nervous system. And then it recognizes the needs of our nervous system. And the unmet needs and the resources and the places where we have capacity, where we have skills that we can appreciate about ourselves, like the exercise we just did. Whatever it is that's going to help you get through this time is yours. It's already inside you. And orienting to doesn't mean other people won't also help you. I don't mean that. But this is a really interesting time where we're also having to really be with ourselves. And practicing pausing and slowing down teaches our nervous system that its state can change and supports us to stay within the range of functionality which this little sine curve hilly diagram thing is showing you a range. And the funny little radio antenna pieces there in the diagram are my way of kind of going, these are really important places right here at the bottom and at the top. And I'll explain that in a second. A huge part of biodynamics is slowing down. And we did that a minute ago. We've been doing that. And the world is doing that. And people around the world for centuries have meditated because they recognize that slowing down brings clarity and presence out of which something new can arise. And I was saying to my husband the other day, I don't really want to live through this, but I can't wait to live beyond it because I want to see how the world is different. I'm so excited for the potential changes here. And it wouldn't be totally fair to say I don't want to live through it, but it's hard. But slowing down is hard. And slowing down is necessary. And the thing is, in pre and perinatal world, working with babies, working with children, especially babies, children can go slow and fast. Babies know this slow place, and they know speed at which the adults around them are moving. And embryos unfold at an embryological development is incredibly magnificently paced. And we all know that pace. We still have that pace. We still have that inherent rhythm of embryological unfolding within us, and we can shift to that. And when, as PPN people, we can shift to that, we create that ability for the people we're supporting. So let me, I'm just orient myself here to what's on the other side of the slide for a second. Okay. The thing about this white window, white rectangle, is it's a way in this slide of talking about functional range, or as Anna Kitty would say, a window of presence. That space within which we're capable, that space within which we can energize to take an action, we can respond to something challenging, then we recognize up here that, oh, the challenge is ended, and we can settle back down. It's not the autonomic, this is an autonomic function of arousal and settling, but there's also that part of us that's not, that chooses to take action. It's not autonomic, part of us that chooses to go out, say, for a walk, and then comes home and settles back down. The reason I put these little funny antenna guys here is because the turnaround is key. If something scary happens and it keeps being scary and it keeps being scary, we kind of go out over here, out of the window. And if we get too sad or downshift too much and nothing really picks our spirits back up, we can go out of the window on the bottom. And I'm sure you all will be talking about this more. This is a key component of somatic experiencing, of myofascial therapy, of pre and perinatal work. How to support a person can stay within their window, and also how to expand it. How to help a person grow their capacity. And how to help a person recognize when their capacity is exceeded, things are too hard on one end or the other. And I teach whole classes on this, so this is a very small moment of that. But pausing is what supports regulation. One of the things that supports regulation and slowing down is another, because then we can recognize where we are. The first thing we have to do is know where we are, who we are, what we're capable of. If I'm able to stay in my window, that means I'm in charge of able to regulate my own nervous system. If I'm trying to manage one of you or somebody in my world who's challenging, then I might get out of my own range and not know it because of my own imprint, because of my own story. That's pretty familiar to me. I have to think more about other people than myself. So what we do as practitioners to support staying in this range, in a sense, is the most important thing we do. Part of how we do that is shifting our pace. And part of how we do that is by creating the relational field that helps a person create healing and awareness, or a group. So the relational field is a dynamic, interactive relationship between a client and practitioner, or a family system, or a community, or in this case, we can go bigger in this moment in the world, that creates the condition for healing and awareness to arise. And the development of that field happens through the pacing, through the knowing where we are, through a portion of the chitties have developed five practitioner skills, which are really key. And I'm just kind of highlighting three of them here because of time. But some of the skills we use as practitioners, we just did, and we want a little bit being present to your experience. The skill of going below the noise, going below the fear. I went to a lecture a few years ago, and man was talking about how his supervisor told him, you got to go below the noise. You got to stay focused on what you know. Because he had just gotten a promotion and ended up in Washington, D.C. and was in government for the first time in his life. And it was a totally different animal than anything he'd ever done. And he was getting swept up in it and saying, nope, go below the noise. You're here because of what you know. You know a lot. And sure, there's a lot you don't know. And the good news is you don't have to know everything, but you have to be able to go below the noise. So you also have to recognize when the noise is rising, right? Or when it's drowning out your ability to perceive the health. But you need to be able to sense what you're paying attention to, where you're viewing from, and how to shift. So shifting state is really important. And pausing and considering, oh, okay. What am I paying attention to? Oh, I'm worried about so-and-so. Okay, I'm aware that I'm worried about that, and I could focus on that, and I can feel myself get more anxious, or I could go, wow, I'm focused on that. Can I focus on something else? Even if that means literally moving your attention to something else, putting your hand on the lower part of your body and kind of squeezing and going, I can feel something else. I'm going to pay attention to something else. So present. What does it take to become present? And then the ability to come into relationship with someone else and still know where you are in yourself. Not easy. Especially ever, not easy ever, but somewhat harder now, but so needed. Where am I in myself, and can I be present to someone else? And can I sense their experience and mind and hold both without losing me. That's the beautiful journey of dynamics. How can I be in relationship with the living world inside myself and the living world outside myself and know who I am and stay oriented to the health, and then listening, letting whatever comes to me come rather than going out to get it, and listening for the inherent order, for that place where healing is already possible, where all the pieces that are needed for something to resolve or shift are already there. So I realize that we'll talk about that quote when we talk about that. Let's see. So I just said this, how can I be with myself and with another? How can I be neutral and present and informed, knowledgeable? How can I cultivate that in myself? And the goal is not to be perfect, but rather authentic and able to recognize where we are, what we're paying attention to, and what we're not focused on in any moment. Safety, support, health, and disease are all things we know first inside ourselves and then recognize in another person. And the felt sense, the way you're going to know your own nervous system is how you feel. The way you're going to be able to support someone's memories of early experience or being with a baby or pregnant mom or a child is by staying with how you feel. The way you're going to meet your own imprints is by recognizing, oops, I'm starting to worry. Okay, this is me, my imprint. Recognizing, oh, I'm starting to worry about them. I'm starting to come out of myself. Oh, can I just be with myself, be with the health in them and the health in the situation? So the felt sense becomes central. Because when we're present in this alive way, we're using all our senses, including the sense of something we recognize at the deepest level of the being, which to me is that aliveness. And kind of didn't have time except to touch on today what that aliveness can look like or feel like. Some of you who've studied cranial work know some more details about how it can look there, but it looks different in every form, and diversity is key. And underneath the diversity of a form is an inherent underlying order that is predictable, recognizable, and actually palpable and sensible. You can sense when the field in the room is settling. Can see mom and baby relax, can see mom and baby escalate, can see mom and baby connect, mom and baby disconnect. All of that, there's room for all of it. And as a practitioner, the way I think of my job when I teach practitioner trainings, I think of my job as teaching my students confidence in their skills and helping them remember what they already know. Because we know our own nervous systems, we know our own bodies, and we can unfold so much from there. I'm going to skip there for a second, just wanting to make time for space for questions at the end here. But one of the things we talk about in biodynamics is a holistic shift, which is another way of thinking about what's happening right now. There is this pause going on, that everything's slowing down. There's also this incredible systemic shift. And at a micro level, we look for that in a session, in a in an interaction with someone. As a relational field is building, as we deepen in our understanding and knowing and empathy and care and awareness of what someone's needs are and what someone's stories is, there's sometimes a very precise moment where everything reorients to the health. And sometimes it's a little longer than the moment. But often in a body work session, it's a very precise moment where suddenly it's really easy to see the bigger picture and sit with the bigger picture. That's a holistic shift. There's a sudden ease. And there's a place where things are no longer separate. And we can sense all the layers. So I'm going to talk about that in terms of layers. And layers of story in the body can lay down in terms of bones, tissues, fluids, something we call potency, nerves. There are so many layers. You could think cardiovascularly, you could think body systems. And we can sense into these layers as biodynamic people. And today, I want to just talk about finding fluidity in the little bit of time that we have. And talk about the value, especially in this time, which is stressful. And stress tends to tighten us up, lock us up in a certain way, and dry us out. And we have so many fluids in our bodies. I'm like drinking water, thinking about it. It's in cranial sacral work, we talk about the cerebral spinal fluid, but the fluid of the body, the fluid body is so full of so many fluids, lymph and interstitial fluid and blood and all sorts of saliva, all sorts of fluids. So what I want you to do is again find your seat and I'm going to orient you to your fluids, because this is maybe a skill that I can teach more of and do teach more of to any of you who are interested later, but just to tap into it here and just to know that it's possible and to give you about 5 little tricks. Orientation phrases that can help you find fluids. Take a moment to again notice your body and then remember a body of water that you love. Just think about being in, if it's not a pretty mellow body of water, you can think about being in it. Or you can think about being near it or in the shallow waters of it. And imagine, actually let yourself be in the shallow waters of it. And imagine your feet are actually in that fluid. And notice what happens as you do that. Anybody get the sense of more buoyancy inside themselves just by orienting to fluids in your mind? Now I want you to take one of your hands and place it lightly on your thigh. And I want you to think about the fluids in your hand. And I want you to imagine your hands being comfortable swimming. Imagine your hands not separate from your body, or you can imagine your whole body swimming in a safe way. I remember when I was a kid, my favorite thing to do was go under the water, look up at the water, at the top of the water, and then shoot out of it. I could do that 1,000 times. Just think of your body in the fluid. And think of your hands themselves as fluid. See what happens. Then I want you to notice your skin so that you still have a sense of containment. Like you imagine or feel yourself sitting here. I can feel myself softening. I hope you do too. I can feel things feeling easier. Just remembering fluids in me, remembering fluids exist. And then just have the slightest moment of thought of someone or some struggle you're having or some unknown in your world right now. And notice what that does. And then acknowledge it and let it immerse into the fluids with you. Like that, how I'm going to pay my bills, or is this person going to be okay, or am I going to be okay, whatever those pieces are that we're all dealing with. Just let it also sit in fluids. See if you can sit in the fluids with it. We are all formed in a fluid world, in a fluid womb, and we all know this place. And then I want you to find it. Hood or surface in your body. Maybe it's the chair you're sitting on or a table, something that you can grasp that's a little harder than your leg. And feel the hardness of that, the lack of fluidity in that. And then think about the fluid in your hands. And notice what happens. So you can bring fluid to something hard and it softens. And you don't have to go anywhere because you have fluids within you. So you could use this to support your family, your friends, your clients as well. Can you think of a body of water you love and then notice what happens for you now? Can you imagine if someone's on a bodywork table, I'll sometimes say to them, you imagine that this table is a raft and you're floating in a calm and safe body of water. Notice what happens in your body. We are all fluid beings and our fluids resonate with each other. You know, if you get a group of women together, they start menstruating at the same time if they're still young enough to menstruate. Get a group of people together focused on their fluids and fluids expand. You're sitting with someone or you're sitting inside yourself and you forgot everything about this lecture and not even relevant, but you suddenly notice that you're feeling really tight and stressed. Try remembering fluids. Just that. It's magical. And if you're interested in studying more about that, I teach a whole class, which is really sort of my little baby that I'm developing around how to work with fluids and the nervous system together. But if you think about it for a moment, when we're stressed, or when there's a charge or an unknown or a fear, and it tightens us by nature. And if that charge or fear can meet fluid, it disperses. Because that's what nature does. And nature is within us. And the natural forces that made us are the same forces that are still making us, are the same forces that are out there. Are the same rhythms that our culture has lost attunement to, and that this time on the planet allows us to reattune to. And we can use the skills of presence and knowing who and where we are and what we appreciate and what we're capable of and how to make relationship in a way that is interactive and co-creative, and how to find our fluids so that something new can arise from this time. And we can bring those skills into whatever our professions are, but especially in that pre and perinatal world where that part of our memory, that part of our cellular memory, that part of our current experience knows a slower pace, responds to a slower pace, responds to fluidity, safety, confidence, attunement, all these things we have to know in ourselves first. And then we can sense that into the body. I think we'll let that go for now. But, you know, you can bring all this to an embryological awareness at any stage of life. We have access to all the previous memories inside our own selves. And so meeting the current moment with all our past knowing and all the hope for the future, I guess it's my big hope that healing that's bigger than I can even imagine can occur from now in each of you and all of us, and way bigger than all of us. And I appreciate the time that you've taken to be here tonight. And I think I'm ending with one of my favorite quotes, because it really is none of my business. What's my business and what I want to teach you is how to create the conditions for healing to occur. What that healing looks like and how it unfolds. Yeah. And I think that's a really important mantra for me, because I get caught in it all the time. I want it to look a certain way. I want to feel effective. I want this to change. I want that to change. I want people to get well. And sometimes sickness is part of the healing, and death is part of life. And we're in this moment, we can see a lot of it. And it doesn't mean healing isn't occurring. And what it means is, how do we show up now with the most aliveness we can have and create the conditions for this time to be healing, and create the conditions for all our interactions, whether online or at home or in the park or however it expands from here, to hold those conditions for dynamic aliveness. Because this grand pause that we're in, this pause that we're in could reorient the world to aliveness, but it's going to do it through death also. But it's just, it's all in the same. It's only our human Western, even human Western, whatever culture that thinks one is good and one is bad, instead of it's all part of the process. Right? It's none of my business how that process is occurring. It's my damn business to make it possible best I can. And the best way to do that is authenticity and with these skills. So you've seen me on my big revolutionary soapbox, because revolution is not just radical change, it's radical remembrance. Returning to what's possible, stepping out from there, right? Out of the pause into a different kind of motion. That's what biodynamics teaches, and that's what we're all learning. We're going to learn from this. I don't know what it's going to look like, neither do any of us, but the potential is huge. So I think I'm using up my time, but I'm happy to stay on here if there are comments or questions. And also, if you want, that is true. And if you want to learn more, here's some of my information. I'm happy to talk and email. And we're in the process of moving some of our classes online in this time. Is a really interesting way to teach body work, but some of these principles can certainly be brought forward, as I hope they have for you tonight. So thanks.
Are you going to move the dynamics of coherence online?
I think we're going to do that in a 3-day version. Yeah.
All right. That'll be good.
I haven't figured it exactly out yet. But yes.
Well, why don't you stop share and we'll see if anyone has questions. There's been some people that have
dropped off.
No. They'll put some things in the chat.
Okay. I think I'm going to... anyway, go ahead. I don't know if I can see everybody.
Yeah, if you stop sharing, you will.
I think I will.
So.
Oh, there's a lot of you. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, there's over 30 came. People are starting to leave now, but.
Thank you so much.
So, Sarah DeVoy, you've really put a lot of really very provoking questions in the chat. Would you like to come on and have a conversation a little bit with Margaret?
Okay, you challenged me there, Kate. Okay,
thank you. I would like to hear what she's got to say to some of the things you've posted.
Yeah, Margaret, it's funny because I can't see you. Oh, I can. I can talk to you on here. It's lovely. Yeah, just one thing. Two things, I guess. There's always more. I had the profound opportunity, and it might just draw me to tears, but about this time last year, I was holding a very dear friend of mine with motor neuron disease. Mm. And she had subsequently died. But I really wanted to share actually with the people who are on the call today that I had the just profound opportunity to hold her sacrum and to hold her occiput and just to feel, you know, the life force, just mm-hmm. to feel the potency present. Mm-hmm. And I liked what you said. I was very listening deeply to what you were saying around the health and the distinction between what is the health that we're actually listening for, because of course my lovely friend died, do you know? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, her spirit, or her, not her spirit, but her potency was pulsing towards its potential. Mm-hmm. And there's a kind of question in there that I can't really put into words, but I'm just curious if you could say a little more about, you know, really making that distinction clear for us around when we're orientating to health. You know, it's on a different level, it's a different layer of it, isn't it?
It is. It's definitely about potency, which is really that energetic potential. And it's also about sort of wellness in the moment rather than the outcome. Mm-hmm. Like teacher, big influence of mine is a man named Martin Quechtel, who I've been studying with for a long time, and he says that, you know, the goal of our life is to live it well so that mm-hmm. our death matters and something comes out of that. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that, what that something is, again, is really none of our business. But how are we living in this moment that is alive and well? So when we're listening for the health in someone, even someone who's ill, it's that underlying, in a biodynamic context for people who hold sacrums and occiput and bodies, you can feel a smoothness, presence, a vitality. It's different, but it's palpable. Mm-hmm. It never goes away. Mm. In this model, it can always be felt. So if you can't feel it, you can go, can I be more in relationship to that in myself? And that sometimes opens the door to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if that helps.
No, I like that feeling of in that moment of letting go of that orientation to what if and I hope and all that, just being with what is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being with what is. And there's health in what is, always. I mean, can't say I remember that 24/7. I'd be lying if I said that, but I believe it and I know it. I know that it's always there. And so when you keep working in this way, whether you're putting your hands on someone or not, over time, it's no longer a concept, it's a knowing. And there's a route to it. Yeah. I think it was Irene. I saw somebody waving, wanting to ask another question earlier. Is there more?
Yeah, who would like to have a question? Was that you, Summer? No, that was Irene. Maybe she's okay. Had to go.
Oh, yeah. I see a lot of people. Other questions or thoughts or things I could clarify? I feel like it was not enough time, but.
Well, what I really got is that if we can slow the pace and orient to the health and be in the pause, something else arises. So yes. That and also the relational field creates conditions for healing.
Yes.
So, and this is a grand pause. We'll reorient towards aliveness and authenticity. So, yeah.
And a slower pace. And there's so many things that will clarify in this time. And right now, this pause is not necessarily oriented to health in that bigger way. A lot of people are orienting to staying healthy. Mm-hmm. Not the same, kind of like what we were just talking about. Not the same.
So Deb Schneider asks, I've heard the word potency, and I'd like to understand that better. Could you just take a moment to answer that question,
sure.
Margaret?
Sure. In the body, potency is an energetic arising and descending that happens that can be tracked in a craniosacral context and by sensing what's happening in the fluids. There's potency in the fluids. It doesn't really help. Potency is that potential, that energy that is always present, that we formed out of and is in us and moving us now. So another word for potency could be energy. And potency also is a way of talking about aliveness in a sense that potency can pause and wait for the moment to express itself. Potency can pause and protect an injured part of our body or an injured memory, a memory that injured us, something that was hard can be protected by potency until the conditions are right for that healing to occur. The potency is part of what can build in a pause because potency sort of expands when things are waiting. I don't know if that helped or added more questions. But, potency is a word used in a craniosacral context, but it's really, unlike some of the other words, it's really sort of easier to understand in terms of potential. It's something that has potential inside us or in a circumstance that's waiting for the condition for that potential to express. So.
Okay, I think that's we've done a night lecture. Does anyone else have any other questions before we head out into the pause, the grand pause, to feel our authentic potency?
Just remember your fluids.
My fluids. Yay. Just want to say, though, thank you, Margaret, and thank you for connecting to the global pause and the grand pause. It's perfect time to hear that. And I hear it echoed all around now in kind of the messages I've been getting from people. And people will resist it, right? But it's there. You can't resist it.
Yeah, we're kind of in a, you know, when you hear a truck coming down a steep hill and you hear that noise in the brakes, that's how I think it all feels right now. Oh, we're being forced into this pause, but there's a lot of resistance and potential in that. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yep.
Margaret, I thank you very much. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I'm very interested in any course you might do on the nervous system and fluids.
Great. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and I can post it again also, but go ahead and email me or go to our website and sign up for our newsletter and you can get information about everything. Obviously in flux right now. All the plans I thought I had set are unknown, but trying to move some of that online. So get me your info and I'll let you know. Yep. Yeah. And thank you all. It's an honor and a privilege and somewhat of a challenge to do it without seeing you all. Like when I'm reading my PowerPoint, I can't see more than 3 or 4 faces. And but there's much more to say, and the grand, well, along with the grand pause, there's a grand opportunity, and one of the things in biodynamics that also gets oriented to is possibility of how to deepen that relationship with that health. So it kind of didn't take the time until right now to sort of bridge that, but maybe it was clear. So there's that orientation to health, and there's a relational field, and then there's a way that the relational field orients to the health and the health expands. And even if, as I can't remember who, Sarah was asking about how do you feel it, or what do you mean to feel it even when someone's dying, it is something else. It's something that can always ask to be in conversation with. We can always ask, is this the health I'm feeling? And see what happens. Or is this the resistance I'm meeting, which also has health in it? And remember, whenever you're in a circumstance with people and there's resistance, there's a reason for that resistance, right? And all of us, inside myself, that when I'm resisting something, I can try to not practice what I preach, and I can try to get around it and try not to resist it. But what usually works, what almost always works better, is going, whoa, why am I resisting this? What's here for me? What does that resistance have? What's the intelligence in that? Right, so that health that we're orienting to is intelligent. It can converse with you, and it has wisdom and reason. Damn good reasons for being there. And so, what is that? So yeah, there's a global pause and people are going to resist it, but they're also doing it. A lot of people doing it, and more, and no growth without resistance is an old embryological term. Life has to change in order to keep going. Form has to completely shift in order to keep going. And I feel like we're being given this amazing chance for that to happen. Yeah.
So. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you all. Have a wonderful night and be safe and well and find joy in all you do as much as you can.